My name is Rudy Rudiger. I'm a little shy, but at the same time, I'll tell you about myself. I'm an interesting guy, number one. I dream, and I have big dreams. And one of the dreams I had was doing a movie. It didn't come at me at first until after my journey at Notre Dame. I said, this is like living in a movie, what I just been through, because this just doesn't happen.
The voice you just heard is responsible for one of the most iconic moments in sports and cinematic history. Today, ESPN's Ryan McGee tells one of our favorites, the story of Rudy. Not the character in the movie, but the man whose life was transformed by a fleeting moment on the football field. And whose story exemplifies what happens when the lines between fiction and reality are blurred. I'm Mina Kimes. It's Friday, July 3rd. This is ESPN Daily, presented by Marathon.
When you're on a business trip, you know what completely goes off the rails? Your workout routine, especially when you book a hotel that doesn't have a gym. So what ends up happening is you do a few push-ups and sit-ups in your room, run around the block, or just skip it entirely. Lame. If you just stay at La Quinta by Wyndham, you'll discover there's a fully equipped fitness center at every location. Now you can wake up and power your buys and tries the right way or de-stress with some cardio. The choice is yours. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Ryan, I imagine most people listening to this have seen Rudy.
Yes.
But for those who have not, who apparently do not have cable television during the holidays.
I grew up in the Soviet Union, apparently, because that's the only way they couldn't have seen it.
We'll recap it for them briefly. Rudy is the story of Rudy Rudiger, played by Sean Astin. He is a small kid from the Midwest. He spent his whole life dreaming of playing football for Notre Dame. He tries and fails multiple times. Transfers to the school, walks on. He makes Vince Vaughn, a young Vince Vaughn, very angry in the process. So he doesn't make the dress list for any of the games during his senior year, and he quits. But then his friend, the head groundskeeper at Notre Dame, Fortune, who I am pretty sure is a composite character.
I can fix that. It's not pretty sure. It's 100% sure.
So he convinces him to return to the team, gives him a great speech. So Rudy does. And he is greeted by his teammates. And Ryan, what happens next?
Well, you're missing a couple of slow claps. Charles S. Dutton had like two claps, and the team gave him a long clap. Mm-hmm. And then he dresses. His teammates throw their jerseys down on Dan Devine's desk. We want Rudy on the roster. He makes the dress list, and he gets in for three plays, possibly, as the Rudy chant cascades down from Newt Rockne's bleachers, and they insert him in the game, one for a horribly played kickoff coverage, and then he almost has a sack on his first play from scrimmage, does have a sack on his last play and third ever play, and is carried off the field by his teammates to the chant. Let's do it together.
Rudy.
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 It was much better than what we just did. I will say that.
So tell me about the first time you saw Rudy the movie.
All right, so I'm older than you are. I saw Rudy in the theater. I was in college, and I think it was, fall of 93, and saw it with my roommates. And the interesting thing was, we were students at the University of Tennessee. We had just been to Notre Dame for the first time, all of us. We drove up to South Bend from Knoxville for a game. And so what was amazing about watching the movie is, it's just the stadium had not changed. From the time Rudy was there in the early 70s, all the way up through the early 90s, really all the way up until about 5 or 6 years ago, the stadium itself did not change at all. The scoreboard was the same. The old wooden bench seats that Newt Rockne installed, you know, in the 1920s and 30s, they were still in the stadium. Notre Dame is a divisive topic regardless, whether they're good or bad. And now this movie comes out. And the hilarious thing about that movie was people loved the movie, and a lot of them would not admit it because it was about Notre Dame.
I'm laughing, but I feel like I've watched Rudy 300 times, especially around Christmas time. It's always on cable, and it's like one of the few things the family can agree on.
It's just, it's a great story. It is a college football equivalent of the Miracle on Ice or any underdog story.
So the movie is released in 1993, but that's not the only thing that enters the public eye. The real Rudy Rudiger starts to make appearances to promote the film.
This story is about obstacles of life. It's about people striving to succeed. It's about people saying to him, you can't be this and you can't be that. You can't have this job. That's what it's about. Or you can't come to Notre Dame and play football. I have the most traditional story, the most biggest fantasy, and it came true.
And Rudy is now 71 years old, living in Henderson, Nevada, just outside Las Vegas. Ryan, you flew out to meet him back in the summer of 2019. What was that like?
It was an out-of-body experience, which is a tired phrase, but that's exactly how I felt. And you walk up, in your mind, you're kind of looking for Sean Astin. And then you realize, oh, no, wait, this older gentleman in the Notre Dame windbreaker, that's the guy I'm looking for.
So he's wearing a Notre Dame windbreaker.
Yeah, and his official reason for that was, I wore this so that you'd be able to recognize me and know that this is, hey, there's Rudy sitting there. But what I've learned since is that he pretty much wears that all the time.
I think people have their own idea about what he's like based on the movie, but what is he really like?
He's rough around the edges. He's not as polished as you maybe expect a guy who makes his living as a motivational speaker to be.
Rudy, yeah, we're playing Ohio State, man. You're coming in. I'm bringing you in. We're going to show the movie to the boys. I said, all right, but it's Notre Dame movies. Don't worry about it. I said, oh, shit, this is not going to work.
He drops F-bombs. He calls everybody coach. He calls the waitress at the Coffee Bean coach.
Where you want to go, coach, it's up to you. There's June Jones.
He calls his son coach. He called me coach. He does it so much, at some point you start mimicking it, not realizing it. Like talking to a friend of yours with a British accent, you start talking with a British accent. I start calling everybody coach by the end of the day. And I get where people might be rubbed the wrong way by Rudy, but if you really listen to him, he's got that infectious smile, and he's just a storyteller. He starts telling stories. You end up just being mesmerized by it.
When we're promoting our movies in Las Vegas, I've never been on a press junket before, so I have no idea what a press junket is. And there I see Stallone and Travolta. I said, wow. And then you see Meg Ryan, Tom Hanks, Chevy Chase, Arnold Schwarzenegger. You're going, wait a minute, what's going on here? And they explain.
How has the movie impacted his life?
Oh, it's his entire life. People ask all the time, well, what does he do for a living? Now, before the movie was released, Rudy tried to sell cars. Rudy was a landscaper. Rudy did every job you could possibly imagine. And then when the film came out, from that point forward, he's just been Rudy. He has a company called Rudy International. He's a life coach. He does public speaking. Even his son, who is an avid bass fisherman and is on the bass fishing team of his high school in Las Vegas, which, by the way, I did not know that you could be on a high school bass fishing team in Las Vegas. It's sponsored by Rudy International. He's Rudy. That's what he does. You walk into Rudy's house, and it is a museum to Rudy.
That's the actual tackle of the actual game right there.
You have a photo right there.
A photo, yeah. That was taken by, I'm not sure, but they took it, which was awesome.
So that's where he lives. That's where he sits all day. There aren't a lot of people that are, there's not a lot of guests there. It's him and the birds and the dogs and the cats.
He's a cockatoo. And he's got about 2,000 word vocabulary, so watch what you say around him. This guy talks.
And it is from floor to ceiling, every wall in the house is something that has to do with that half of a minute that he played against Georgia Tech a really long time ago.
Here is the actual carryoff of the actual game right here. And I'm real proud of that. Here's the actual coming out of the tunnel pitcher. Someone needs a jersey, to get a jersey, and to get a helmet, they get a helmet.
Without me knowing it, he stuffed a Rudy jersey in my backpack, and I got home and pulled it out, and I was like, oh, well, there you go, a gift from Rudy.
Something tells me you're not the first person to leave his house with a jersey stuffed in your
bag. I'm not exaggerating when I say there is a pantry. I feel like it's probably supposed to be the food pantry, and it is full of nothing but 8x10, you know, what in the NASCAR world we call hero cards, and the jerseys just stacked. Like, it looks like the equipment room in South Bend.
They get footballs if they need a football. Of course, we got the bobblehead here.
And so I don't think anyone leaves that house without a jersey and a picture.
Coming up, where does the reality of Rudy meet the fantasy of Rudy? And does it even matter?
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with the smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky. 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
So I actually had kind of bird dogged Rudy at the Notre Dame Stanford game in the fall of 2018. I kind of followed him around to see how people reacted to him. And people walking around campus would either go, "Rudy!" And, you know, they're wanting to take pictures and all that, or they're just rolling their eyes going, "Oh, Rudy." Notre Dame people are divided about him because they don't believe that he belongs, or a lot of them don't believe that he belongs in the same conversation with Newt Rockne, Billy Shakespeare, everybody that's ever won a Heisman there, and there's a million of them, Tim Brown, give me the whole list. He doesn't belong in that conversation. And the reality is that he does. He's part of the lore.
Seems like this idea of disliking Rudy has to do with the fact that some people believe he is trying to take a minor event in sports history and almost blow it out of proportion. And a lot of people do care about that. I mean, Joe Montana, he talked about Rudy on the Dan Patrick Show in 2010.
Were you there when Rudy was there?
Yeah. It's a movie, remember. Not all that's true.
Well, what wasn't true?
Well, the crowd wasn't chanting. Nobody threw in their jerseys. You know, he did get in the game, and he did get a sack. And then the guys just carried him off kind of playing around. I won't say it's a joke, but it's playing around. But, you know, he did, you know, he worked his butt off during, to get where he was and to do the things he did. But not any harder than anybody else.
Wait, you're ruining it for me here. I bought in that you guys were turning in your jerseys, and this was emotional, and Rudy was your spiritual rallying cry.
Ryan, was Rudy upset about that?
Yes. And listen, it doesn't take much to get Rudy upset. It just doesn't. And he's a fiery guy. That's because that's who he is.
Well, I accepted Joe's comment because that's Joe. He's a laid-back guy. He didn't know me. Think about it. He was a freshman. Who is this guy? He doesn't know Rudy. And he was injured. He wasn't even at the game when I played. He was injured, so he never suited up. So he never got to experience that moment or understood that moment.
You talk to players that were on the roster with him, and they're in three categories. Either A, they don't really remember him. B, they remember him and they're just tired of hearing about him all the time. Or C, they love him. Like, they love him. And so they kind of run into three different groups, and Rudy knows exactly who is in every group.
Right?
Rudy's got Rudy radar, man. He's like Professor X in the big thing where he can see the whole world. He just, if anybody's talking about Rudy, good or bad, Rudy knows it.
There seems to be a sort of dichotomy between Rudy believers and Rudy cynics. Do you think he sees the world that way?
He absolutely sees it that way, and it doesn't take very long for you to understand that. If you mention the Joe Montana thing, his face turns red, and there's a vein that pops out in his neck, and it's not that he's mad at Joe Montana. It's just a reminder that there are still people out there who are questioning what he wants to do, and he keeps a list. I'm telling you, he still remembers the names of the priests at his high school back in Joliet, Illinois, who laughed at him about, "You can do this or you can't do that." He remembers everyone who told him no, everyone. And that goes all the way up until today.
Ryan, one instance where Rudy was told no was in 2011. The feds charged him in a stock pumping scheme around a product with his name on it.
Well, the way that Rudy describes it is he was chasing the money. And he got talked into this Rudy energy drink, one of Dan Devine's relatives was one of the people involved in this, and they got a little aggressive with their numbers as far as advertising and going to possible vendors and saying, well, our numbers were just as good as so-and-so. I mean, some of the giant sports and energy drink companies, and those numbers were not accurate in the eyes of the government and of the regulatory agency. So Rudy, instead of going into a protracted legal fight, he agreed to a settlement and he paid that off, and it cost him a lot of money. It became a pretty big headline because, you know, he's Rudy. And whenever there's a chance to pile on the dude, everybody seems to seize that chance.
Right. The SEC, the government agency, not the conference.
Right. Yeah.
Actually mentioned the movie in their press release about charging him with a stock pumping scheme. But they also said that the promotion for the drink falsely claimed that Rudy outsold Gatorade 2-1, which seems unlikely.
It was not likely, and whoever threw that number together did not think that through, and clearly they were busted on that.
It feels like he sort of embodies the idea of living on the edge between being a very aggressive dreamer, which is the Rudy story, and being a self-promoter.
Yeah, and aggressive dreamer is the perfect way to phrase it. It is. And he's aggressive in everything that he does, and that's why he's been very successful at times, and he's failed miserably at times. And honestly, it goes back to the story of how he even got into a game at Notre Dame anyway. And every time he's been knocked down, he jumps back up, and that's just how he has lived his life.
Do you think he can separate himself from the character in the movie?
No. I mean, I don't. I mean, I think he has a great understanding of who he is as a real human on Earth and who that person is up on the screen. But the two have become so intertwined that, you know, most of the questions that he answers have to do with the film as opposed to his real life experience. He always says in the very beginning when, like, Reader's Digest signed him on as a speaker and they sent him out to all these schools, and when he would walk into these elementary schools, the kids would just be crushed because they were looking for Sean Astin. And so he has embraced the character when he needs to embrace the character. But at the end of the day, it's about Rudy. He's pushing his actual real story as much as he possibly can.
What do you think that says about him?
I think it says that he saw an opportunity to make a living. But I do not question his motivation when it comes to telling the story. Because the reality is, he's never been rich. He's done okay. Been bankrupt a couple times. And I kind of went into my day with Rudy with my cynicism helmet on, going, all right, dude, we'll see. And then I realized very quickly that he's not on private jets. He's not hanging out with famous people. Most of what he's doing is kind of down in the trenches of the motivational speech world. And it's because he believes in what he's doing.
What's your why? If you have a why, then you're going to perform. If you don't have that why, you're just going to get through the game. If you get your why, you can be doing things you didn't think you could do. So get your why right now. Get connected and get rid of all your goofy thoughts you might have right now about anything you might have. Get rid of them right now. Go out there saying you deserve to be here, just like I deserve to play at Notre Dame, just like I deserve to have a major motion picture, just like I deserve to go up there and speak to great audiences. And that's how you should think.
Ryan, would you describe yourself as a Rudy believer?
Yeah, why not? I mean, listen, I was so inspired by the film when I saw it, and no one disliked Notre Dame at that point more than I did. And I was just bitter because they beat Tennessee at our place. And, you know, you roll your eyes at those things, but at the end of the day, and Rudy says this all the time, it's okay to walk into a movie theater and leave inspired. It's okay. And that's how I felt when I saw the film in 1993. And, you know, I got the DVD somewhere here in the house. I'll pop that in at some point and I'll watch it and I'll be inspired again.
Thanks, Ryan.
Thank you, Mina Kimes.
I'm Mina Kimes, and this has been ESPN Daily. Our show is produced by Michael Baltierra, Troy Farkas, Alexander Hyacinth, Mike Johns, Steve Martin, Ryan Nantel, David Cerosi, Andy Tennant, Eve Tro, Chris Tuminello, and Aaron Vale. I'll talk to you Monday.